Next year, we're just gonna be, as Anita said, we're gonna be hosting the conference. I hope to see everybody there. Don't be afraid. We're not that mean, but this is nice, I'm gonna do with my stuff. Yeah. Anyway, the only one, the thing I wanted to ask, being that LA County is so diverse, do you have any preference? Where do you would like to see the conference being done? Close to an amusement park? Close to a big mall?
Which amusement park would that be?
Take a pick, Magic Mountain, Mount Airy Farm, Universal Studios, even Disneyland, Dendelo, across the border.
Anywhere but
Staples Center. Oh, that's very rough neighborhood, though. You don't want to get there. Maybe where you're track this and bulletproof things.
The beach.
Also to the beach. That, we will try that, okay. Any suggestions that you have, just you can use the CCMA email and send it to me. We'll take a look and try to accumulate the majority of the same who want. All right. Anything else?
Well, I'm sure they want to have easy access from the airport, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. There are three airports available. I would recommend LAX. There is Burbank, Ontario. So depending on whatever venue we pick, we will be closer to one of those three airports for those who need to fly. If the budget is very low, you can for extend the time and start walking. The idea is that we can all be there. All right. Thank you.
Does anybody have anything they would like to discuss? It's not.
I have a question.
Sure.
Now, we have a lot of our cashiers come to the counter and they'll say, why do you guys create so many sheets? Like, we'll have the page and then sheet one, sheet two, sheet three. Is there any other way to get around that?
Assessment purposes. Works every time.
It sure does.
Did you get your answer?
Do you want to let him know? Just give
him
another cake, right? Yeah. I guess so. We'll just save a little bit of extra one, too.
Put him on the website.
Take him on. That's the way how many pages you need.
Anybody else?
So, has anyone in here had any issues whatsoever with the court ruling on antiquated subdivisions? I mean, nothing in particular has happened in our office regarding it. I was just curious if anybody else had.
They have to do a subdivision within that whole subdivision.
Any kind of issues. So everybody's pretty much just ignored that? Okay. Fair enough.
We've always let them do a parcel, you can do a parcel map and result in subdivisions. That's the way we've always had those. They don't require a subdivision. Usually if there's a subdivision and you're going to subdivide that, you have to do another subdivision. But with the old ones, make an exception.
Any of the counties here present create parcels from unrecorded documents, which is eminent domain order of possessions?
If we know that.
If you know that.
I mean, if it's a court order, if I get a copy of it, yeah.
Wouldn't that be a recorded document?
Not necessarily. That's no problem.
It's required.
Gets recorded, I think, somewhere.
Well, it gets recorded in the court, but then always it's recorded in the court office.
Like, it would be on file through the court office.
Yes. And again, how would we know that? So we have had a situation a couple of times where, you know, I found out about some, with a property owner working, well, how come this isn't, you know, how come our parcel is divided up? I didn't know about it.
In our state, we have that routinely. The taxpayers tell us that the state has bulldozed their orchard for a highway. And I just say, nothing's recorded, and they tell me they have the order. If they give us the order, then we'll process. The owner no longer owns. He may, on paper, still own, but he no longer controls and possesses.
I think the biggest thing we had problems with was the federal government in patents, because they send them to the property, people have bought, purchased the property, and leave it up to them to record the patent. They are not doing it. So we were running ahead, we had a lot of patents that nobody. But luckily, the state started, or the federal, they started sending me copies of the patents, the unrecorded patents, so we could at least get the person's name on it. We've got this one area, a town called Ransburg, that people have been living in some of these properties for years and didn't really own the property underneath it, living in houses. And so they started filing all these patents to these people, granting them the land, but recording. And that was probably the biggest one we had a problem with.
Some counties create parcels, like a parcel is owned by two owners, and for great tax structures, they create sub-parcels. I don't think it can be raised that way, but some county creates two parcels, sub-parcels, without being serving by ascended ways, like
that's segregation of parcels. Is that what you're talking about?
It cannot be appraised at all.
And if we have to, if divide the parcel, then yeah, I'm going to cut it if I have to. And create two separate parcels. And it's up to the appraiser to decide where they're going to put it, what they're going to do with the value, how they're going to divide it up.
This is your idea. But if you promise you that two people own it, they want bills to be separated. So you take some parcels.
How's the ownership? Undivided interest?
Undivided. We try not to.
We used to do that 20-some years ago, but we do not.
We have, in San Joaquin County, it's done through the tax collector's office. So 1 year segregation was agreed. It's done through the tax collector. They each get their own bill for that year.
Well, submission is from the tax collector's office.
Right, but we won't adjust the assessment part.
We assign two sub-numbers.
So you're talking about one legal property divided by a tax rate area, apparently?
No, we're talking about segregation of it.
Oh.
So it's an APN separation, which is splitting that APN into two sub-numbers, one and two. And we have two ownerships there, two owners there who doesn't have a fixed like percentage ownership and all that kind of stuff. So you don't know what portion of the land is owned by this owner. So we have this two sub-numbers who will generate two tax bills.
We used to do that for years, and they finally decided they were going to stop doing it. And so now we don't know what actually happens.
Yes, our county too decided, like, we don't want to do it, the circumstances allows us to.
If it goes to default, yeah. Yes, the fall, and one of the owners wants to pay his portion, then we'll have to go and pull it out.
That's when the tax bill top is asked to.
Calgary used to do that as well. And a number of years ago, we went in and combined everyone that we possibly could. And any of the ones that were in default at the time, you know, we could do. But as there's been redemptions and so forth, all of those get combined again. there's issues, they need to settle it, not us. We're not going to send out multiple tax bills.
We don't want to do the paperwork for them.
Actually, I think we kind of got dinged from the state board because of having the multiple numbers, and that was one of the main reasons that we went in and did the combinations.
I know when we do have to deal, we try not to go below 25%.
I thought that the question was about the tax rate of property. I had a question about that.
Sure.
That when there's a lien of property that's divided by a tax rate area, which creates two tax parcels, and one of them goes default, and you have to write a legal description for the tax structure or a tax sale. And how do people describe that tax structure?
That's an illegal loss. You have to find the when that tax rate was established, and the annexation by the annexation by should have a legal description to start in that line. And you have to kind of research that.
Cite the annexation.
Yeah, when that was enacted, that will give you a established line to the buildings.
Yeah, I'll do the same thing. I'll find a written legal description for the annexation that created that line and try to use what I can out of that along with the original legal description to come up with a new one.
Is everybody writing legal descriptions for tax sales?
Yeah.
Everybody? We're told not to anymore. Or are you using the, well, by the assessor, because there's a liability issue and the state was made on one that got resolved, but potentially there was great liability for us because we wrote the legal description.
I mean, most of our descriptions that we write are probably out of line. So I don't really see that as a big problem.
We work with, well, we've got a lot of them that were pretty hairy, but we've worked with the tax collector and pretty much put it on them that if we can't come up with a recorded legal description, something that we can just copy, they have to hire a surveyor to create a legal description. County surveyor refused to do it.
There's suggestions there that they can actually scan from the recorded
document. And that's what we provide. And our service for that is we'll try and find a recorded description, verify it, support them. There isn't one available. We've now let them know they hire a surveyor to create one, and then it gets tapped on to the taxes, the amount that they're owed for compensation for that parcel.
Yeah, that's the process.
Yeah. But for a long time, we were our own.
Getting back to that criteria, it helps with the because of the line, separating parcels, you know, dividing the parcel because of the tax area code, and you're saying you could sell half of it. That, in my opinion, is an illegal lot.
Well, it is like
we've had issues where in the far past, if someone brought a legal description into the assessor's office and wanted a separate assessment number, our policies would do it. Because we were doing it for assessment purposes only. Yeah. And then we got contacted by the planning department that those are non-variant parcels, they're non-compliant parcels, but if one of them goes into default and a tax auction comes up, by default, those become legal parcels. And they were having a big problem with that, and so we stopped. We stopped before that anyway, but then we were trying to go back and clean all those up where we had done that. But we were told that a non-compliance parcel goes into tax default and gets to the auction phase, it becomes by default now a legal parcel. At least in our county. That's how
we receive a request like that from a taxpayer to say split a parcel or whatnot, or if a document, something comes through. We review it, but we may or may not, there are cases where we may not. Even if we do split it, we notify planning that this may be a violation of the map act. So they're, they've got a heads up there. They're not going to get any permits or anything else.
And we'll only do it on a recorded document. If someone sells a portion of the property, we're not going to verify if it's illegal split or not. If you have a recorded document, we'll go by. But but if someone comes to our office to ask us to do it for tax purposes, a lot of times they're thinking they're getting around the lot line adjustment fees. So we either refer them back to planning to start the lot line adjustment process or refer them to the tax collector's office to get a segregation.
We put SFP on the parcels, except for assessment purposes. And that way the planning and public works know when they're looking at that these are separated because of the TRA or because of a request by a taxpayer or recorded documents. But that means it's usually not a legal parcel, so that's kind of their red flag, you know.
And you call it
SFAP, separated for assessment purposes.
Yes.
And we put up like a tie across the parcels to show which ones are tied together, and then we note that in megabyte.
Sure. Remember, the processes for dealing with jurisdiction lines have been around a lot longer than the modern rules of land use. Subdivision Map Act, I mean, that only goes back to 64 or so. And so when we get one where both sides are default, we notify tax collector to sell them together. But if for some reason only one side is in default, then that does in fact create a parcel.
Yeah, the tax collector can do anything to get money. He can sell anything.
Our tax collector does a good job when the default parcels are up in the list. Before it goes from advertised out, they go to the neighbor. They offer to them, make a negotiation in. And then a lot of times we don't come with this kind of problem because there are people waiting. A couple years ago, class about it, brought a lawsuit because this guy bought a piece of property which stopped the other neighbor because he was using that as an exit. Now he bought it and now he blocked it. So a couple years ago it happened. After that, Plaza County tax collectors now and they get into default list coming up before it goes advertisement for other people to see, then negotiate to the neighbors and ask how us, we try to find out that it's really part of the supposed to be because that would create problems. People are waiting to do that because of this, all this real estate. And they want to see and stop people and kind of block you. But they stop that, play for and get into the legal. So that's what I'm talking about. And the customer that goes personally, a lot of people want to negotiate and close the market.
And I can do that with really stop it in any undue creativity for neighbors.
No, they give it just off up to them.
Anyone else?
Go ahead. Yeah, I was telling you, this county, we encounter a lot of those. Well, first of all, as far as I've gathered, the parcels have been already split at least for 5 years. They've been delinquent for 5 years before the law. So it's not a question of whether they're legal now or not. However, this is one thing at least we emphasize a lot. The reason the little parcel went delinquent was most likely our ownership or somebody in our departments made a mistake. It's not that the taxpayer didn't pay, didn't get two tax bills. He did not. He just got a tax bill on one of the parcels. Most likely that's what happened. 99% of the cases, it's an assessor error. I need to penalize the taxpayer for it. The other aspect of it that I look very carefully is the valuation. We're not just doing maps for mapping purposes, you know, we're doing it for valuation. Look at it carefully. If the value is completely enrolled on the big parcel, that means we got our fair share of taxes already. For some reason, we were putting whatever, $100, $200 value on the little parcel, now we're going delinquent. So what we do is we try to work with our assessment services to drop the valuation to something that does not generate tax value anymore on that. And at the same time, work with the owner. If it's an assessor error, we'll just correct it all. So we try not to sell that parcel as much as possible. Because 100% we're sure that the guy got his tax bill, he got the value correctly, and then went down. So we got to do a lot of steps. Don't by just selling that little parcel. back to the first gentleman's question, if that is the case, that's the final result, we will use this very simple legal description. That portion of Lot 26 and that blah, 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 in tax rate area, by and we have many tax rate areas. And that's it. You're legally, you're pretty good shape in that.
But if you're going to go ahead and devalue that piece of property, why not just move the tax area to the line so there's no longer a
We know years ago, 1992, AB 3280 came and allowed us to combine more parcels. Mm-hmm. And later on, SB 1184 came and increased the values and increased the size of the land. And we've been doing that. And we started doing that right away, combining everything we can according to AB 3280. A year later, the CRAs and the cities start jumping on us. Well, those little slivers that had a little value on them. So, no, don't take value away from our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we are very...
Is it really 25,000 and this exercise
of
45 square feet?
A single family
residence. For a single family
residence. It's a business, your stuff.
Yeah. Any parcel that's more than an acre can be splitable by the TRA boundaries, what I understand.
Remember, when you're merging under those conditions, you're not moving a boundary. You're simply changing a TRA number.
Absolutely. Right. Yes.
That's why
the legality of the parcels still stays.
Give me all the parcels with this TRA. They are not necessarily getting a boundary. The boundary has to be a separate item in a GIS thing.
I just see it as a fictitious claim. That's it.
In our county, we choose to keep a solid line for those things and have a connect link across them so that there's only one parcel number, so that you can still see the boundary line. That's our methodology.
We had an issue in the desert. Some parcel maps were filed in the 60s, I guess. I don't know why, but wherever the parcel crossed a section line, they divided the parcel. Assigned a different APN for each portion within a different section. I had the parcel map was a huge parcel map, covered a lot of sections, and some of the parcels may even be in four sections, and it would be in four pieces. I had no idea why they did that. Of course, over the years, people were taking pay all the tax bills on all the parcels. Some of them would go to fall and get sold to other people, and it's a mess. But nowadays, as we find them, and if they're under the same ownership, we go buy back and combine them, try to at least keep it any further problems.
So you keep the line on the combined parcel and just
look up? No, man, we make a soft parcel out of it. Maybe a dash line to indicate the section line.
Well, which side do you put it?
Okay,
well, in this case, these are all in the same TRA, so that's not a problem. It's just for some reason, whoever drew it at the time, because it came out of more than one section, they divided the parcel along the section. Made no sense.
We have some condominiums where we have city boundaries running right to the unit.
Why you would split it along the section line when there's no need to add an item?
Wasn't it so that the different tax jurisdictions get their portion?
Well, I mean, in this case, that's it. It's all in the same TRA, so. There was no reason to split the TRA. So. I have no idea why they did it. Yeah. Yeah, no, in this case it wasn't the TRA, they just split because it crossed the section line. My only thought is because the section was probably one parcel at the time, and they split it up into pieces for the parcel map. And you come back later and combine the other pieces together to create this, I guess, the one parcel. I don't know.
Anybody else? Well, this is my favorite part, so let's move on to the next one, since we all are ready to leave, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have Ellen Tubbs do the dual prizes. So if you can pull out your raffle tickets.
What raffle tickets? Oh.
It's inside you.
Surprise.
Walked around the whole time and didn't know it was in there. What's this other thing in there?
It's interesting that Ralph was long, but Ralph was talking about intent on the theory lines and parcels and not cutting them, and just not always cutting them, if it felt the intent should have been to include the parcel.
I
asked that yesterday.